until the person lives in this world. How many presidents of countries came and went? How many kings came and went? How many governors came and went? How many multi-millionaires and billionaires came and went from the world? How many of them do we know their names and their life history? Take all those kings also. Leave the past ones. We're talking about just 2 years ago, who was the president of America, we don't know. And if we know, then it's just some name. And yet at one time that person must have been dancing from this country to that country, this stage to that stage, this interview to that interview. And yet after some time, the person doesn't even remember him, doesn't even know him, doesn't even talk anything about him. Why? Because it was all worldly things. They evaporate, they vanish, they disappear. But if we have built up this connection with our Allah Ta'ala, then it is not only for this world. Then in the qabr, in the hashar, in akhirat, everywhere this helps you and takes you along. It is a kind of a strength that the person gets. In his weakness he finds strength. In his sorrow and pain he finds consolation and happiness. It is as that example you have heard many times, like that rose that blooms in the midst of thorns. There are thorns all around, but the rose is blooming there. So the person who gets connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then this connection is such that it helps him in his dunya, in his qabr, in his akhirat. And always we make this mistake, we think that it is only for the akhirat. It's not only for the akhirat. Our desire should be the akhirah. But Allah Ta'ala even gives it in this world. In the month of Ramadan, Hazrat Maulana Hakimat Akhtar Sahab Dhamat Barakatum, in one of his majlises, he said, and it's, I say that nothing is coincidental. I was going on a different line and it brought me to the same thing that I wanted to discuss. But just now I mentioned that this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is not only for the akhirat. It helps you even in this world. Now this is what he says in the light of an ayat of the Quran Sharif. Jiske dil mein Allah ki muhabbat nahi hoti, aise mehroom dil takabbur mein mubtala rehte hai. Those hearts which do not have the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then such hearts remain in pride and in arrogance. Because they don't have the love of Allah Ta'ala, so therefore there's pride in the heart. And I get many letters from those people that are wanting to make the Islah, and so phone calls and queries. And many, many of them feel that they've got pride and they want a reformation prescription. So it is necessary first to know the symptoms. So I ask always, what are the symptoms? You say that you have pride, so what are the symptoms? Now the person will give some symptoms. So sometimes it is not pride. The person considers that to be pride. For example, somebody will say that I feel very happy when I achieve my goal, when I get my qualification, when I get my degree. When I got my degree, I felt very happy. Or when I attained this or that, I felt very happy. So that is this pride. Now to feel happy is not pride. Now to that person, it is like that fly which is sitting outside on the mirror. But it seems as if the fly is inside the mirror. When the fly sits out on the mirror, then when you look at that fly, it seems as if the fly is inside the mirror. But it is not inside, it's outside. You just have to pass your hand like that or take a sword and you can kill the fly. So now that is not pride. That happiness that the person is experiencing is not pride. Then somebody will say that I feel I'm better than the other person. So again you have to ask the question, better means what? Therefore to be bayat, it is not just reading wazifas. When a person becomes bayat for the purpose of Islah, then it is not just reading of wazifas. These are the things that the person has to find out. And then Allah Ta'ala inspires, if the person is a Shaykh Kamil, then Allah Ta'ala inspires him with the correct replies and the person gets out of his problem. So now this person says, I feel I'm better than. So you ask the question, what do you mean by better than? Does it mean that now you consider yourself as having more knowledge than or better than? There's a difference between the two. One is having more knowledge than, and one is considering oneself superior to. Superior to is in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that if a person considers that I'm superior, I'm afzal, I'm better than that person, I've got more ilm, I've got more taqwa, I've got more piety, and I'm this and I'm that. Now that is pride. That is ujub, vanity. But if our brother Muhammad here has to say that I have got more knowledge about law than all those that are sitting here, or if our Dr. Hussain has to say that I have got more knowledge about the teeth of a person and dentistry than everybody that is here, or if our Qari Sahib has to say that I have got more knowledge about the rules of tajweed and qiraat than everyone else that is here. So that's a fact. That's not pride. That is not ujub. If that person has got more knowledge than the others, then it is a fact of life which he is expressing, and it is the truth. So we won't consider that to be pride. But when they think, those people who have got more knowledge than the others, when they think that that knowledge was due to our own effort, we achieved it, we attained it, we worked hard for it, we made mujahada for it, and therefore we are superior, we are better than others in the eye of Allah Ta'ala. Because of this extra knowledge that we have, we are better than the others. So now it is different. Now that requires reformation. That requires a purification of the heart. Because the person is now attributing all those achievements to his own hard work and effort, and he is forgetting the giver of those ni'mat. Whereas, if the person thinks of the giver of those ni'mat, who is Allah Ta'ala, and then out of shukr he says, it is the shukr of Allah, it is the fazl of Allah Ta'ala that I have been able to attain this or attain that, so then that is what we term as the antidote. That he has to think of Allah Ta'ala as the giver of those ni'mats, and then out of happiness that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with that ni'mat, he is expressing to others that I have these ni'mats. Then there is no sin, it's not pride, it doesn't require any reformation. Because now he is recognizing the Creator. So the cure for pride is that we have to get to the source, that who is the giver of these ni'mat. If the person worked very hard, I've given many times in different places that example, that take any ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, the person who has attained those ni'mat, just take wealth for example. You can apply it across the board, but just take wealth. Now the person received wealth, or the person has is a millionaire, he's got plenty of money. Now you analyze, how did this wealth come? Analyze it. How did it come? So it can be one of the three or four ways. One is that that person worked very hard. Lots of people we see, they work very hard, day and night. So now if the person worked very hard, he went to his business 6 o'clock in the morning and finished up midnight. Day and night he spent in purchasing, in selling, in touring the world for the right commodity to sell, the right prices to get at. So now the person says, you know how much of travel I made and how hard I worked, and I hardly slept, and my family too was also neglected in the process. Now he says all that. So we say, oh, very nice, mashallah, then you attained this wealth because of your hard work, isn't it? He said, yes. So now look at yourself. When you were born, at that time you knew 1 plus 1 equals 2. When the person was born, ask the baby 1 plus 1. Then that mother too will say that, I think I married a nut. If the father has to ask that baby 1 plus 1, what does it equal to? Then that mother will say, please, I think divorce me, because you seem to be crack. How can the baby know 1 plus 1? So 1 plus 1 the baby does not know. The hygiene of the baby. Did you hear of any baby as soon as it was born, then it made its way to the toilet and made its stinja? Any baby went straight to the toilet and made its stinja. No masla of deen and sharia, no namaz, roza, zakat, nothing. What does the baby know? So did we not all go through that process and that stage of life where we knew nothing? Hal ata al insan heenu min adha lam yakun shay'an mazkura. So we all went through that stage. So now this man who says, I work very hard and therefore everything is of my own hard work and effort. So you tell that person that, did you not go through these stages in your life? So if the person went through all that, then who is it that created the conditions for him as he grew up to go and acquire ilm? Who is the one that gave him that strength? Who is the one that gave him that intelligence? Who is the one that gave him that memory, gave him the intellect, the understanding of how to go about doing this business? And then who is it that sent the customers and the clients? Who is the one that caused the crops to grow and gave man that intelligence to make all those products which he is now buying and selling? Who is the one that put the gold and silver into the earth which they dug up and used for the jewelry and everything else? If the person has to go into all the details, then he will come to the conclusion that everything was a gift of Allah Ta'ala. It was all the gift of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala did not bless him with that intelligence and with that knowledge and with that strength, then he would not have been able to achieve what he has achieved. Will anybody put a madman on the counter and say that I'm making you a cashier because you perform excellent in this field of madness? Will anybody put a madman and make him a cashier? We won't even trust that person on our cash register. We will say that this is a madman. Instead of giving 2 rand change, he might give that person 2,000 rand change. So Allah Ta'ala gave this person that intelligence. So now there will be no pride. If that person looks at himself and where these ni'mats came from, then even if he worked hard, he will realize and recognize that it came from Allah Ta'ala. So that is one way, that he worked very hard. So if he worked very hard, then it is again Allah Ta'ala's gift. Because Allah Ta'ala could have snatched it away anywhere during his lifetime, anywhere along the line. So many people we know, suddenly they became paralyzed. That one person was driving up to Johannesburg 2 or 3 years ago, and he just passed Harrismith. Fit, healthy person, professional person. He just passed Harrismith. And suddenly there was a jerk, and he does not know what happened. Half the body went dead and paralyzed. Finished the car, nearly meet up with an accident, but somehow applied the brakes and stopped. And from there he had to be taken out of the car, taken in the ambulance to the hospital. And to the best of my knowledge, he spent more than 1.5 years in the hospital, and they couldn't really come up with a solution to his problem. So it's lessons of ibrat. It can happen to anybody, but the thing is that ibrat, that we take lessons from that. So if Allah Ta'ala had not given him that intelligence, that strength to go on with all these things, he would not have accumulated anything. So it came from Allah Ta'ala. So that is one. The second way that he could have got it is by inheritance. Now inheritance, who caused him to be born of a certain mother and father? Who caused him to be the son or a daughter, or who caused her to be a daughter of a certain father and mother? It is only Allah Ta'ala. Did anybody have a choice? Did anybody have a choice that before birth Allah Ta'ala asked him and made mashwara with him, that I want to send you to this world, so what is your choice? What would you like to be? What color? You would like to be born of which mother, in which country, in which area? Did anybody have any choice? Lai hayat to aaye, qada le chali chale. Ha, he says, Lai hayat to aaye, qada le chali chale. Na apni khushi aaye the hum, na apni khushi chale. Lai hayat to aaye, qada le chali chale. Hayat, life, Allah Ta'ala destined, so we came. And when death will come, then it will take us away. So death came and took the person away. Na apni khushi aaye the hum, na apni khushi chale. Neither did we come with our own happiness and our own planning, and neither did we leave with our own planning. So now this person who is born of a certain, in a certain family of certain parents, then that is again the choice of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now somebody will be the son of King Fahad. Somebody will be the son of King of Jordan. Somebody will be the son of the king of some other country, with oil wealth, with plenty of gold and silver, with plenty of palaces. And somebody will be the son of a poor old, poor woman, poverty stricken, destitute, living in some refugee camp. And someone will be the daughter of this woman who doesn't have a slice of bread to eat or clothes to wear except something that is covering the body. So now when this child will inherit, the king's son, when he will inherit, then he will inherit those palaces, he will inherit that gold and silver, he will inherit those oil wells. And when this woman is going to die, then what is this child going to inherit? So if you have to look at the inheritance, if this person received it by inheritance, then again it is the gift of Allah Ta'ala. It is definitely the gift of Allah Ta'ala. If this person was not born of those parents, then of that mother and that father, then this person would not have inherited what he has got. So what is there to be proud about? The person must make shukr, that Ya Allah, it is your shukr and your ihsan, that I did not have to slog, I did not have to burn the midnight oil, I didn't have to work very hard, you blessed my parents with all these things, and they passed away and I got it in a plate. So now when the person is going to make shukr, then la in shakartum la azidannakum. So now pride cannot come when the person recognizes the giver of that ni'mat, that is Allah Ta'ala. That inheritance also, it came because it was Allah Ta'ala's plan. Otherwise you would have inherited nothing. So that is the second way. The third way could be that that person has received a gift. The person received a gift. Somebody gave him a big gift. So now that gift also, how did it come? Who gave that gift first to the person who is owning that? First he must receive it from somewhere. Now again, he either received it through hard work, or he received it through inheritance, or one of those things, which was of course the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and now he gave it as a gift to somebody. So when he gave it as a gift, again if you have to trace the source of this gift, it is none but Allah Ta'ala. So whichever way you look at it, any ni'mat that the person has got, whether it is his knowledge, whether it is his health, whether it is his wealth, it is all the gift of Allah Ta'ala. Now that is the cure for pride. That you consider everything as a gift of Allah Ta'ala. And once you consider it as a gift of Allah, which can be snatched away any time, the person who is in constant fear that this gift can be snatched away, and he's got million and one examples before him of how gifts were snatched away, ni'mats were taken away. When people were disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, ni'mats were taken away. Or when Allah Ta'ala wanted to test the person for his sabr and patience, the ni'mat was taken away. Sometimes the ni'mat of wealth, sometimes the ni'mat of health, sometimes the ni'mat of knowledge. There were many people of great knowledge, but they reached a stage in their lives when they could not even remember their own names. Isn't that a haqiqat? That the person forgot his own name due to stroke. You ask the person his name, he doesn't know his name. He had a stroke, it must have affected the brain. Right? So the person even forgot his name. And yet he was a professional person, great knowledge, but suddenly it's all gone. So if that person is in constant fear that this ni'mat which I have been given, if I'm going to be disobedient to my Creator and don't appreciate this ni'mat, then he can snatch it away. The Qari Sahib is worried and concerned that that beautiful voice with which he is reading Qira'at, if pride comes into his heart, and if Allah Ta'ala decides and desires, and he takes away that voice, then finish, that Qari Sahib's Qira'at is all gone. All those who are making wahwa is all finished. How many singers there were? The singers are ensuring their voices now. Singers are now ensuring their voices. Now why do they ensure their voices? Is it something that the rogues and the thieves and the hijackers will come and say, no, give me your voice. I'm holding you up for your voice. Did you hear of anybody doing that? Did we hear of any hijacker holding up a person because of his voice? That is a great singer, so therefore I'm going to hold him up and hijack him and take his voice away. Nobody does that. So then why are they ensuring their voices? It shows that they've got this fear that this voice can be lost. Can be lost. Theek hai maulana? Sahi hai na? The voice can be lost. So that's why they're ensuring their voices. Some are ensuring their fingers with which they play the piano. Some are ensuring their feet with which they dance. Some are ensuring their eyes. And it's happening. Go and see the Lloyd's register, how many things are insured there. For all I know, there must be some people insured their liver, lungs and heart also. So this insurance that they are taking out of the voice and of this and of that is an indication that they believe that it does not belong to them, although they don't admit it. If you have to go to the root of it, it is their belief that they are not the full owners of this voice. Isn't it? If they were the in complete authority and complete control until their dying day of this beautiful voice with which they are singing, then was there any need to take out insurance? Maulana? Koi zarurat thi phir? Kuch bhi nahi. Ye aap hi logo ki barkat se Allah Ta'ala kuch kehlwa raha hai. So that person who is ensuring his voice, it is a clear sign that this person is not in full control of this voice of his with which he is captivating large audiences and which he is using or which she is using to earn millions of dollars on the dancing stages of the world. If they had full control, if they were full owners, then there was no question of insuring it, because there was no loss. I mean, what loss would the person have suffered? Nobody would have ever hijacked the person because of the voice. So again, there is a very clear sign there that all these ni'mats, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's blessing and bounty. So if that person is going to consider it as a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, then pride cannot come, because he will have the fear all the time that that Allah who has blessed us with this ni'mat, he also has the power to take it away. Allah Ta'ala can also take it away. It is a clear sign that the person is not going to have pride, because he believes that these ni'mats are the gifts of Allah and that Allah can also take away this ni'mat. So then he's not going to be proud. He's going to be making shukr and there'll be humility in the heart. The person will remain humble. He will not consider himself superior to others. He will not consider himself to be superior to others. In the same way, those people who are ensuring their eyes, they're ensuring their ears, and those who are ensuring their tongues, everybody is clearly saying that I am not in full control over these things. So what we were discussing, I think, was that sometimes it is pride and sometimes it is not pride, although the symptoms are very similar. Now that has to be determined by the Shaykh, whether it is pride or not. And if it is pride, then he will say that the cure and the solution to that is that don't consider any bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which you have been blessed with to be of your own hard work and effort and of your own and the product of your own intelligence and your own sacrificing of time and effort. Consider it as a gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Trace your whole life from the time that you were born until the time that you attained your certificate or you attained your qualification or you attained your degree or you succeeded in business or in farming or in industry, whatever it is. Then trace your whole life from the time of birth up till then, that who is it that took you through all these stages and finally brought you to this level. So look at that. And then have this fear all the time that these ni'mats, I am not in full control. Allah Ta'ala has given it to me as an amanat, as a trust, but He can snatch it away whenever He wishes, whenever He wills. As I explained, that the person forgot even his name. Professional person, but forgot his name due to the stroke. Forgot everything. And after some time again, he regained his memory. Then when they told him that you reached a certain stage where you had forgotten your name also, he said, I don't recall. He was not even aware that he had gone through a stage of life where he was not even aware of his name. So the person has got this constant fear. Therefore, a believer's life is bayna al-khawf wal raja. A believer's life is between fear and hope. On the one hand, great hope in Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, in His mercy, in His forgiveness, in His generosity, in His kindness. And on the other hand, fear that Allah who is so generous, so kind, so forgiving, so merciful, so compassionate, so loving and so caring, but that Allah can also seize if the person becomes obstinate, if he becomes persistent in his sins, if he becomes disobedient, if he rejects Allah Ta'ala, then that same Allah who is very merciful, very forgiving, He also has the qudrat and the power to seize. He's got the power to snatch away. Look at the world, so many parts of the world. At one time, certain cities were flourishing, booming industries, everything was going, and suddenly everything collapses. Or one earthquake and everything gone deep down into the ground. When they're excavating, how many times they say they come across cities that went down into the ground. Recently also they found evidence of a whole city that had gone down into the ground some 1,000 years ago. So that shows that it is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who sustains. And if we are going to have that khawf and raja, fear and hope, then the person's life will become very, very pleasant. He cannot suffer after that from this serious disease and illness of pride or ujub, vanity. Because he doesn't consider anything to be really his. He considers it as a gift of Allah Ta'ala, so he always says Alhamdulillah. He always says shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he is also concerned that it must not be snatched away because of his disobedience. I was going to discuss that when we make ibadat, zikr and tilawat, or when we are obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then generally we have this impression that all the rewards Allah Ta'ala has got in the akhirat, in Jannat, He is going to give to us. Whereas it is not only in Jannat, Allah Ta'ala makes this world a Jannat for the person. He makes this world itself a Jannat. Because this person carries the Khaliq of Jannat in his heart after that. But now if I have to comment with that, it's another whole discussion. If Allah Ta'ala wills, inshallah, on Monday or something, we will discuss it. But if you take this lesson from today's majlis, that a person should never ever consider any namat which is in his possession, or any qualification of his, or the wealth that he has, or the good home that he has, or the good car that he drives, or the chain of degrees that he possesses, or the qiraat of the qari sahab, or the ilm of the maulana sahab, or the hifz of the hafiz sahab. They should never consider that to be the product of their own hard work and effort. Yes, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that He gave the strength to undergo that sacrifice or make that effort. But the energy for that, the strength for that, the health for that, the intelligence for that, all came from Allah Ta'ala. They are all His gifts. So make plenty of shukr over the gifts of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then it is His promise, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That was one. Then our life must be between khawf and raja, hope and fear. On the one hand, we should not think of Allah Ta'ala as somebody just there, ready to pounce, to punish. He would not have made the Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajmain go with the message of Deen through the whole world. He would not have caused us to embrace Islam and make ibadat, zikr, etc. He would not have told us what are the ways of getting forgiveness of your sins. It shows Allah does not want to punish. He does not like punishing. So on the one hand, we must have high hopes in the mercy of Allah, in the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. But on the other hand, looking at our own weakness and shortcomings, we must also have this fear and khawf of Allah Ta'ala. Both things must go together. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. And yes, and the third thing which I was emphasizing at the beginning of the majlis is that in any ibadat that you are doing in this month of Ramadan, and especially here in i'tikaf, then don't do it to that extent that you don't look forward to the next ibadat. Quran Sharif recitation, then you make so much of recitation that you look forward to starting again from where you left off. If you're making tasbih and zikr, then you read that much that you look forward to reading tasbih again. If you are making nafil namaz, then you make that much nafil namaz that you look forward to reading nafil namaz again. So in this way, what will happen is that you will enjoy that ibadat. It won't be like a mountain upon your shoulders that we just have to do it now because we are sitting in i'tikaf. May Allah Ta'ala accept your i'tikaf. May Allah Ta'ala accept all the du'as that you are making in i'tikaf. May Allah Ta'ala accept the zikr and the tilawat and the ibadat. And may Allah Ta'ala make it a means of hidayat for yourselves, for us, and for the entire ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر.
صلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ صدق الله العظيم. This morning at about just before the Zuhr Salat, about an hour before the Zuhr Salat, I was talking to those people who are in the i'tikaf. It was not really anything planned, but just some thoughts came in my mind which I wish to discuss with them. So we had a majlis just before the Zuhr Salat. But while after the Salat, or just after the Bayan, one young university friend of mine, whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given that kind of muhabbat that he does not miss any of my programs, and he even travels up and down if there is any program in some other town. So with such regret he said, Molana, I missed your majlis because it was not announced, so he was not here. But just listening to his regret that I missed it, it came into my mind and heart that since whatever we do should be for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, so even if it means for the one person that we have to repeat whatever was said, as long as it is for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it will be rewarded. So others who are here, what I am really going to do is give again a gist of what I discussed a little earlier on. So you could consider it to be a revision, because these are not bayans. This is not a bayan. It is just for the purpose of our islah that these things are mentioned. Hazrat Sayyid Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali, he gave a bayan. Thousands of people were in the Jummah Masjid of Delhi, and when he was walking out, one old person came running and he says that, "I am coming from a certain village and I came to listen to your bayan and it is over." So he had delivered a 3-hour bayan. So he made that one person sit and he gave him another 3-hour bayan, exactly what he said. And he said that those thousands of people that I addressed was for that one Allah, and this one person that I am addressing is also for that same one Allah. So if our niyats are correct, then we get rewards. If our niyat is not correct, we get no reward. But some of the things that we mentioned could be beneficial for everybody else too. So I'm just giving you the gist of what was discussed. I read out from one kitab, or one waz, of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Wad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, one sentence, in which he said that jis ke dil ke andar khuda ki muhabbat nahi, wo dil takabbur se bhara hua hota hai. That heart in which there is no love of Allah Ta'ala, then that heart will be filled with pride. After having read that, then the discussion went on to what is pride then. So this is a common problem. Many young people, old people, many people who are wanting the Islah, they say that we've got pride. So what is pride? If a person wears good clothes, is it pride? If he travels in a good car, is it pride? If he stays in a good home, is it pride? If he has plenty of gold and silver, is it pride? That is not pride. So always we ask, what are the symptoms? When the person says, "I've got pride," then we say, what are the symptoms? Because sometimes the symptoms, it seems that the person got pride, but it's not pride. It's like the fly that is sitting on the mirror. To us it seems that it is inside the mirror, but the fly is outside the mirror. The pride, when does it come? When does this pride, vanity, ujub come into the heart? It comes when a person considers whatever his achievements are to be of his own hard work and effort. That's when pride comes. That he considers everything to be of his own intelligence, his hard work, his effort. Then that is when pride comes. I gave the example that we have an attorney that is sitting in Etikaf. We have a dentist in Etikaf. We have a Maulana Sahib in Etikaf. We have a Qari Sahib in Etikaf. And we have people of other professions in this Etikaf. Now they are sitting here. Now if the one who is an expert in law, if he has to say that my knowledge of law is more than everyone else that is sitting here in Etikaf, so will we say that it is pride? Or if the Qari Sahib has to say that my knowledge of Tajweed and Qara'at is more than everyone else that is here in Etikaf or in this masjid, then would we say that that is pride? Or if the dentist says that he knows more about the teeth of a person and more about pyria and more about gum diseases and more about extraction of teeth than everyone else that is here, then would we call that pride? That is an expression of a fact, that the person has got more knowledge than those others that are here in this masjid. In that particular field, he has got more knowledge. So having more knowledge or considering oneself to having more knowledge than someone else is not pride. It is not something that is punishable by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if the person considers to have more knowledge than others. What is objectionable is that if this person thinks that because of this extra knowledge that I have, therefore I am afzal, I am superior than others. In the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I am great. And that definitely Jannat is for me because I have more knowledge in this particular field. Then now that is pride. That is dangerous. Because the person does not know what is going to be his condition in the hereafter. He does not know in what state his death will come. He does not know whether he is held in esteem in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, or in spite of his knowledge, because of his evils, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not going to forgive him. He is going to first punish him in the fire of hell and then give him freedom. Now all that he doesn't know. So just having more knowledge does not make a person esteemed in the eye of Allah Ta'ala. That is the bottom line. That the person must now consider whatever achievement he has, whatever degrees and qualifications he has, all those things he must consider as a gift of Allah Ta'ala. When he considers it as a gift of Allah Ta'ala, then pride cannot come into the heart. Because he's considering it as a gift of Allah Ta'ala. And again, the person must fear that it can be snatched away any time. The person must have this constant fear that it can be snatched away, because it is a gift, it is an amanat, it's a trust. Allah Ta'ala can take it away whenever He wills. And that nobody has got full control and authority over everything that he possesses. I gave a few examples that take all those people who are insuring their voices. There are so many singers that are insuring their voices. Now why are they insuring their voices? They are insuring their voices because they do not own and possess. They are not masters of those voices. It is a gift of Allah Ta'ala which they do not want to acknowledge because of the disbelief in Allah. But the fact is that it is a clear sign and indication that they are not owning those voices. It's a gift of Allah. If Allah takes away that voice, then all those who were queuing up and buying tickets to listen to those singers, they all will disappear. And nobody holds up a person because of his voice. We know a lot of hijacks because of cash and because of the car itself or for other reasons. But we haven't heard that a person was held up and he says it's a hold up. Why? He says because I'm going to steal your voice. We haven't heard of anybody stealing a voice. So then why are they insuring those voices? Because they truly believe that this voice is not theirs. That it can be snatched away. It can be taken away. It can be lost. For various reasons it can go. So in the same way, the person who has got wealth, he considers this wealth to be a gift of Allah Ta'ala. The person who has got some degrees and qualifications, he considers it to be a gift of Allah Ta'ala. That example which I have given many times, if we only keep that before us, then there is no question of pride coming. And that is that whoever has any kind of wealth or property, then he thinks of how it came to him. So either it has come because of his hard work and hard effort. Day and night he worked. He did not give any concern to his health, nothing. Day and night business was running. And he traveled up and down, here, there, everywhere, and he accumulated the wealth. So now he says that I am the one who worked very hard and I accumulated it. But if this person is a sensible person and he's got muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala in his heart and he's got marifat of Allah Ta'ala, then he must trace, he must go back from the time of his birth. He must see who is it that took him through all the different stages of life. The stage where he was in his napkins, where he could not even clean himself. We haven't heard, as I said, of any baby that the moment it was born, after that it took the jug and went to the toilet to make istinja. We haven't heard of any baby as yet that went and made istinja itself. And if anybody had to ask that accountant, that person who is a government accountant. He has reached that stage now, so the whole country is accounting he is doing. But when that child was born, if that father had to ask that baby that was born, that 1 plus 1, what does it equal to? Then I say that even that mother will say, looks like my husband is gone crack. He's asking the baby 1 plus 1. Where can the baby give an answer to 1 plus 1? So she too will say, you rather divorce me, because I think now you are an asylum case, because you want the baby to give you answers to mathematical problems. So that great accountant also, there was a time when he couldn't even add 1 plus 1. So who is it that gave him that intelligence? Who is it that gave him that strength, that ability to go to the mother, to the school, to start learning from 1 plus 1, and then go on and on until he went to the university level and qualified, and now he is in that very high government position? So if he traces his whole life history, then he will come to the conclusion that it was nothing but the gift of Allah Ta'ala. So now he makes shukr over it and make use of the ni'mat, then Allah Ta'ala will increase it, because he believes that it is a gift of Allah Ta'ala, so he must make shukr over it. So that is not pride now if he says that I have got great knowledge of accountancy. But if he says that no, it's nobody was really instrumental, it was my hard work, it was my effort, I did this, I did that, and that is how I achieved it. So if that is the case, then this person must also be in full control of that knowledge that he now has. There must be no fear of loss, because he say he worked hard and he accumulated and now he's got it. So if he's got it in his brain, so now he must be fully in charge. There must be no fear of any loss, whereas we know that there is great fear of loss. There is great fear of loss. I gave the example of that one person who was a professional person, very intelligent, but he had a stroke. So it hit the brains, or whatever damage must have been done. The person forgot his name also. For many, many days there was a loss of memory. The person wouldn't even be able to tell you his name. After some time again, Allah Ta'ala gave him back his memory. But he went through this stage where he forgot even his name. So where can we say proudly that no, I am the owner and nothing can be snatched away? So if he goes and traces this whole history of his, then outwardly he worked, but who is the one that gave him the intelligence, the strength and the ability? It is Allah Ta'ala. So it came from Allah. Or he got it as inheritance. So this inheritance, how did he get it? Who caused him to be born in that family? Why did he become the son of a certain king? Or why did she become the daughter of a certain king or ruler? Or some great oil well sheikh, that the person is owning billions, and this child was born in that family. Now the father died or the mother died and the person inherited a fortune. So we had no choice. None of us were first consulted. Allah Ta'ala didn't have a mashwara that in which family you wish to be born, which color you wish to be born, and what kind of voice and eyes and ears and all you wish to have, and which country you wish to be born. Nothing. Lai hayat to aaye qaza le chali chale, na apni khushi aaye the hum, na apni khushi chale. So on the one hand, this person is receiving a massive inheritance. I gave that example once of that one doctor who passed away in an accident. His estate was worth about 2 point some million. So I had to work out the estate for that family. Now there, that wife, she was expecting his child. She was 9 months pregnant at that time. A son was born, and that son inherited 1 point some million. Now that child was in the mother's stomach and was already a millionaire. Now here was a case of just a millionaire, but there are many cases like that where the person can be a billionaire and still the child is in the napkins. So that is the gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he was born in that family. And on the other hand, that poor woman living in a shack, she doesn't even have sufficient food to eat, she doesn't have proper shelter, she doesn't have clothing. Now if she dies, then that child, what inheritance is going to get? Or if it's a gift, then again, why is it that that person thought of so and so to go and give him that gift? And who is the one that gave him all that in the first place? So if we take these things into consideration, then that pride won't come, that ujub won't come. The Qari Sahib, who is reading with a very beautiful voice, from where did that voice come? So now if that Qari Sahib is reading and making shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will increase that ni'mat. But if the person thinks that no, it is mine, so then you must be in full control of it, whereas it can be snatched away any time. So this was what the discussion centered on, that we must not consider anything which we have in our possession as ours. For worldly purposes we say it's ours. We can buy, we can sell, we can transfer, we can give as gift and we can give as donation. So for worldly reasons Allah Ta'ala has given us some sort of ownership, but in reality it all belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So our life must be between hope and fear. There must be khawf on one side and raja on one side. Al-imanu bayn al-khawf wa raja. That on the one hand you have very high hopes in Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, in His mercy, in His forgiveness, in His kindness, that Allah Ta'ala is definitely very, very compassionate, forgiving, and He wants to see us succeed in this world, in the qabar, in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala does not want to punish, He does not like to punish. On the one hand we have great hope in Allah Ta'ala's maghfirat and forgiveness, and on the other hand we have this fear also, that if we are going to be disobedient, if we are going to reject Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats, and if we are going to reject His authority and His greatness and grandeur, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has also got the power to seize and snatch away. So many countries of the world, we have seen what happens within seconds. Within seconds. So many cities disappeared from the surface of the earth. They sank into the ground. And archaeologists excavating, they give us information, so many thousand years ago it looks like one whole city went deep down into the ground. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that's what He wants, that we must recognize Him, have His marifat. So we must not just rush to conclusion that every little thought that comes into the heart of happiness over some achievement is pride. But if we consider ourselves superior to the other person, we look down upon those who do not have that kind of qualification or that kind of wealth or that kind of ni'mats, then that is pride, which is a very dangerous sickness. Shaitan suffered from pride, therefore he refused, out of arrogance, he refused to make sajdat was Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. So the rejection of haq and truth, that is pride. Rejection of that which is haq. And considering others as inferior to us. Then also, because they are in i'tikaf, so I was discussing with them, that in our ibadat that we make, we should not go on to any extreme. We read about the incident of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and all the other great, great Buzrugs and Akabir, Hazrat Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Usman Ghanira radiallahu ta'ala an, and so many of them who used to read Quran Sharif the whole night, sometime in one rakat the whole Quran Sharif. So now when we read all those things, all in the month of Ramadan, one Quran Sharif during the day, one at night, 24 hours recitation. So when we read those incidents, then the desire comes into our heart that we should also follow suit. So it's a very good desire. But we must look at our capacity and do whatever we have to do. We must not go on to extremes just because some people in the ummat, Allah Ta'ala gave them that strength, gave them that quwwat, gave them that kind of energy to do that. Now we do not look at them and do the same thing. Then what will happen is we will do it for one day and that will be the end of it. We must keep that fire burning, that desire there to go on with that ibadat. For example, if it is Quran Sharif, then recite that much. That after that much of recitation, now you look forward, you close your Quran Sharif, you keep it with respect, and now you look forward to when can I commence again and continue with this tilawat. If it is tasbihat, then you make that much tasbih, then now you look forward to when can I read again the next tasbih. If it is nafil salat, then you make that much nafil salat, that now you look forward to again making the nafil salat. It must not be that now you get so tired that you feel that you got some burden off your shoulders, that finish, now I did enough and that's the end of it. And that beautiful example of Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Rahmatullah Alayh, that they take lessons from everything. To us, all these things look like just simple little things. So, but the examples are so beautiful. He gives the example of a yo-yo. And I was telling my friends here that this yo-yo, if you go to Makkah Sharif, those yo-yos which light up, you'll find that person all the time playing with it on the streets of Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. And when it comes into fashion here and when it becomes a craze, then at that time the nani ma, dadi ma, the nanas and dada, nanas and nanis, the old and the young, everybody seems to be playing with that yo-yo. Now to us it's a toy. It's just a toy. But the example is beautiful. He says that when you are playing with the yo-yo, what do? You don't allow that string to open up completely. Before it opens out completely, you pull it up again. Because if you just leave it like that and it goes away down and it's open completely, so now it's not going to come up. You will have to take it and start winding again. Make it some effort will be required to bring it up again, and then you can start playing again. So he uses that as an example that in our ibadat, I'm talking about nafil ibadat, then let that fire be still burning there, let that desire be still there. Before the string opens up completely, leave it there. And afterwards you can bring it up again. But if you're going to just exert yourself and exhaust yourself, then you will lose the interest. So even in i'tikaf, you should not do any ibadat to that extent that the person does not look forward to continuing with that. When you are tired, go and relax, sleep. Diversify the ibadat. If you are making nafil namaz, now you made sufficient, then start reading Quran Sharif. You read Quran Sharif, you start making zikr. But in this way, what will happen is that the desire will remain that you want to continue. You don't want to just wrap up and give it up. Now that is very important. It is very important that we keep that fire burning. Don't let it extinguish altogether. So that is something that is for those not only in i'tikaf, but for everybody at all times. That whenever it comes to nafil ibadat, then do not go on to extremes. Many people we have seen that they will go on to extremes 1 or 2 days, and after that the rest of their lives they finish, they're tired, they don't want to do any more ibadat. Or they will go back to their old lifestyles. When they make a change in their lives, then suddenly they will go to such an extreme that for a few days a person will think that this person is a Bayazid Bustami or Junaid Baghdadi. And after 2-3 days or 2 months or 3 months, the person gets tired because he has gone on to extreme. And after that he becomes, instead of Bayazid, he becomes Nange Yazid. Even Yazid feels ashamed of him. They go back to the old lifestyles. But if the person was doing it gradually, tadrijan, then that person is not going to give it up like a hot potato, drop it off. So let there be a balance, let there be moderation. We should not look at those people who made ibadah 24 hours and think that we can also follow them and emulate them. We don't have that capacity. In our times, put all the effort into staying away from haram and then make a little bit of zikr, tilawat and ibadat and see how Allah Ta'ala takes the person on high levels. Because there are fitnas all around. There are so many different kinds of fitnas. So at such a time, Allah Ta'ala makes life easy. To get to Him, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. Allah does not make it difficult. So this is for everyone. It's not only for the people in i'tikaf. But especially when in i'tikaf, because we say 24 hours you must spend your time correctly, then some people just read these incidents in the kitabs and now they say, well, we're going to read 3 Quran Sharifs for the day and night. And then what happens after a day or two, then finish, they lose that interest. Whereas it is very important that you should keep looking forward to it. Your ibadat must become enjoyable. It must never be a burden. That example I keep on repeating, that the Comrades Marathon, what happens there? The person knows that after that 84 kilometers or 87 he's going to run, then he could land himself in hospital. He will have an aching back and aching feet. And sometimes he's out of job after that for days. There's pain. But because he's looking forward to the medals that he will be getting and the television crew that will be filming him and the publicity that he will get, So all that pain, in that pain he finds happiness. He gets happiness in that pain. Outwardly this pain, but he's experiencing great happiness. So in the same way, outwardly in this ibadat it seems that there's a little bit of pain, that the person is now standing up for tahajjud when others are sleeping. The person is reading Quran Sharif when others are listening to BBC and CNN and all other radio stations. The person is making nafil ibadat, is doing tilawat, is doing zikr in the masjid. Now at that time outwardly it seems there's a bit of pain. But if the person looks at what he is going to get in return, what are the rewards, and especially the reward being the raza and the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it eases all that pain. So there must be that looking forward to the to what Allah ta'ala is going to give in return. Then there will be an enjoyment. The person will not feel like bored. He's not going to feel as if he has made a big mistake that way he went and sat down in the masjid. He should have also remained outside. There will be no such thing. He will look forward to it. He will enjoy that ibadat. And there is definitely an enjoyment in zikr, in tilawat, in ibadat. There's a definite enjoyment because Allah Ta'ala is the one who is observing, who is watching, and He has made those promises. But there must be that sincerity, and Allah Ta'ala will give that happiness in the heart. A few other things we had discussed, but I said in half an hour's time we are going to finish. So even this much is sufficient, that what we should do is consider all the ni'mats as the gifts of Allah Ta'ala. To express happiness over the ni'mats, or to say I have a little more than the other, or I have more knowledge than the other, that is not objectionable. But to consider it as being of our own hard work and effort, and Allah Ta'ala had nothing to do in this whole qualification of ours, on this wealth of ours, na'uzu billah, then that is kufr. We must recognize the creator, recognize the giver of the ni'mats. And also that fear must be there that Allah Ta'ala can snatch it away, He can take it away. Whenever He wills, He can take it away. There are so many examples of that, and we know throughout the world there's plenty of evidence of that, how Allah Ta'ala gives it to and He can take it away too. And those examples that I gave of those singers and others is to prove that they too, deep down in their hearts, they know that it is not ours. We have got no control over it. That's why they are ensuring that it can get lost any time, so that we can get some money at least for the voice that's gone. So if we take these 2-3 points into consideration, that we must take lessons from everything that is around us. In everything Allah Ta'ala has got lessons for us. Then our life will become pleasant, a happy one. Outward conditions will not affect the tranquility of our hearts.